This territory of forgiveness is one that can be very challenging, very tender, at times very confusing. And just as we discovered that anger can be associated with lots of other things like fear and grief and confusion, so too the territory of forgiveness can be associated with our experience of sadness, of course of fear and anger, again of confusion and sometimes anxiety, uncertainty. And it's not always the primary issue for us. So I think it's just good to acknowledge that it may not be what's really there, and that's okay. Even if you've come to this workshop, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to therefore be at a certain point in the curriculum. It's just not like that. Human beings, we are where we are. And yet that's where, or what we're talking about right now. So having said that, I just want to say a couple more things with regard to specifically self-forgiveness. Ultimately, it's the same territory as the forgiving of others or wishing for others to forgive us. But we can experience it differently. The really deep need and yearning we have for our own forgiveness, to extend forgiveness to ourselves. Whether we have that as something we conceive that we wish for or need, it's something that's really important for all of us to find. And in some ways it's the place we can come back to, so far as we've encountered in our practice and many, many ways, as we will, our own limitations. As we look at our lives and reflect upon them, we'll see our places where we're not entirely together or not even close. Not quite as far down the line and before the path as we would kind of wish to be or think we should be according to how long we've been trying to get somewhere. And all of that in the end comes back, or potentially has the potential to resolve into this place of, okay, maybe I can just forgive myself for being here, where I am in this condition, messy, dysfunctional, confused, causing all sorts of trouble for other people and myself, unstoppably. But that's where we find ourselves, somehow, sometimes. And one thing we're not likely to find ourselves in that condition is to find ourselves alone. Although not everyone's necessarily going to fess up to that. So much of the time that's how it is. Kind of messy, kind of confusing. We haven't got the answers. We're supposed to look like we do. Apparently everyone else can do it. But because we're not letting on that we can't really, probably we could imagine that maybe they aren't either. Now Mary Oliver said in the poem The Wild Geese, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to crawl through the desert on your knees for 100 miles repenting. You have only to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you about mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the rain, the soft pebbles of the rain, is falling across the mountains, the prairies and the deep trees. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. No matter who you are, no matter how lonely, this world calls out to you. Calls out to your imagination, like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, again and again announcing your place in the family of things. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You have only to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. What would it be to forgive ourselves? For the things we did and the things we didn't do. So many things we did or didn't do. All of us. And yet somehow we imagine or believe that we shouldn't or we can't forgive ourselves. And the tendency is often to imagine that if we forgive, we open the door to it all happening again. That somehow the lack of forgiveness is the way in which we ensure the non-repetition of whatever it is that was difficult, painful or harmful. And unfortunately, the evidence doesn't back that up. It's not how it works. So far as we can't forgive, we don't allow ourselves to open to. And when we're not open to ourselves, there's actually something deeply painful in that, which easily becomes the trigger for things we, again later, feel sorrow for having done or not done. So, hearing that, of course, we may recognize some truth in it, or we might think, no way, it's okay. But even hearing it and understanding it doesn't necessarily resolve those tendencies within us. And so, we're going to do now a couple more questions of the sort we've done a couple of times. And the first one's, for those of you who are new to this kind of exploration, you might find it a little strange to begin with, but I just invite you to try it. The first question is, what is right about not forgiving yourself? So it's like being invited to consider why it is I shouldn't forgive myself. Even if I know it's a good idea, even if I think it would be good, because that sounds like what I've been telling you probably, I hope. It sounds like it might be a good idea. But in us, we have all sorts of beliefs, ideas, fears around that. And so that will be the first question. And actually, we just do them one at a time. So I won't tell you the second one. And I think we will get to the second one this time, having disappointed you last time. I don't want to do it twice, but let's see how we go. I want to say a little bit more about the form. It's important when you do the questioning, in the sense that the person asking the question is actually really there for the person to hear their answer. It's part of what helps them to find the answers, not in terms of the right answers, but to actually be in touch with themselves. By being present for someone else, we're supporting the awareness and the sensitivity that's there in that engagement. So it's a little bit like how we might wish to be present for ourselves in our own meditation. Can I be there? Without putting any demands or expectations, but really open to hear what comes. Just as we might wish to be open to hear what arises within us. In that way, it's a very meditative practice. We ask the question, when we're meditating, the question is always, what's happening right here and now? That's the question we're asking again and again and again, internally, unspoken. What's going on right here, right now? So when we're asking the question, it's, oh, okay. What's there for that person? And the question is a particular territory within the wholeness of what might be there for them. So that we're actually, the person who's answering the question doesn't have to be looking at you when they're answering. But when you're asking, it's really helpful if you just look at them. You don't have to stare soulfully into their eyes, egging them on, or telling them they're doing okay, or helping them get the right answer. That's not required. In fact, it's not so useful. It's like just be an empty space for them. So far as you can, you're not going to do it perfectly, that's all right. I hope we can see that we're not going to do it perfectly, nobody does, but that's the intention, just to be there for them. So we're here. As if we asked and we wanted to know. Now, if we asked the question, go make a cup of tea, have you answered yet? You know, well, if someone does that, we're probably not going to bother answering the question. So it's like, can we be there? It's not always easy, but it's an interesting practice. And when we're not able to be, okay, well, that's our practice too. Likewise, when you're receiving the questions, just to see if you can answer spontaneously. Don't edit the answer. Don't be thinking up the answer while they're asking it. Listen as if nobody asked you that question before. And just see what happens in that. And what's also really useful is to be just checking in with your body, both when you're listening, but particularly when you're answering the question. Just, what does it feel like when this is asked? What happens to me? And sometimes you might want to say, you know, the question might be there, but it's actually, wow, I feel a lot of tightness, or I feel wobbly, or I feel, and that's part of your, because actually what you're giving is your response to being asked the question, which might be an answer, but it might not be an answer. As I said, it might be, I hate that question. Okay, let it be hated, that question, for that moment. So I just want to ask, does anyone have any... Oh, okay, it's also really important, that sense of staying with them as they answer, so you can have a sense when they're finished. So you don't ask the question again while they're halfway through their answer, you know, and they've just taken a breath, and you've, thank you, and it kind of cuts their flow, but nor are they sort of there having finished their answer, sort of, you can ask me again. Because, of course, that happens in small ways. We can't help that. We can't be perfect in that, but the part of being there is so we just have a sense, oh, okay. Not as soon as the moment the word has stopped, because maybe another will come, but if another doesn't come, yeah, then we can ask. Does anyone have any question around that form? Okay.
Well, I'm not sure I really... I can't really think of the question.
Okay, so that's around the question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not sure how you'll handle the question.
Okay.
That's okay. You can handle it by saying, this doesn't relate to me, this sounds silly, this is, you know, that guy up the front, he doesn't know what he's going on about. If that's what comes up, say it.
I was wondering if there's another word, like forgiveness, that would kick a bit more with me, but I don't know if there was another word, I'll see what we have.
Well, it could be done with a different question. It could be like, what's right about not accepting myself as I am? But each question is going to be nuanced in a different way.
Okay, so
and I would suggest that if what you discover is that there's a bountiful well of self-forgiveness available to you, or a complete absence of things which need forgiving, and that's what you discover, hey, that's not a bad thing. Really? I'm not being sarcastic in saying that, really. Yeah, so this will give you a chance to encounter it and see. sometimes that's not what shows up, and we find the orientation might be more. I've been listening as well, I've been hearing the responses to what's been coming for people, and it sounds to me like that's actually more consistent, not absolutely, than the primary thing towards forgiving of other. It's both, but underlying it often is the self-forgiveness issue as part of it. So we'll see where we go. We can't do all of the questions we could do because there isn't time. So that's going to be the first one. And does anyone else have a question around how that question and answering form works for them? Okay. So again, I would invite you to find, just before you do, notice how quickly we get ready to do that. Is anyone getting ready to? Who will I get? Will I get someone I want to be with? What if I get someone I don't want to be with? What if I end up with nobody because actually someone left at lunchtime? So we might be, yeah, because it could have happened. Actually it did. Someone told me they had to go. They're sorry, they couldn't stay. Unless someone came at lunchtime, in which case we'll be back to even, I don't know. Or someone else left and didn't tell me. Anyway, look at all the possibilities. It's just, again, maybe find someone you didn't work with or didn't have that meeting with. Unless somehow you're beside someone who you really want to do it with and you have, and that's okay. And just form yourselves up. And again, just do this and sit together with whoever you're with. So just form yourself into your peers again. Find someone to be with for an exercise, which we're going to do. And just notice if you don't seem to be finding someone, just look around, put your hand up if you're on your own. Is there anybody who's on their own? Put their hand up. Put your hand up. Okay, still one person. Okay. So maybe see, is there someone you haven't worked with nearby who, would you guys be okay if someone joined you to have three? Couple practice, okay. So that's all right. I'm just, maybe join those chaps over there. Is that okay with you guys? I'm just doing this as an executive decision, no reason, but yeah. So it's going to be a repeating question again with three people. What I would suggest you do, does either any of you in the three have a watch? Yeah. Would it be easy for you to time, one of you to time 4-minute sessions? Okay. So you're just going to be out of sync with the rest of us a little bit. And everyone else we're going to do, actually, make that 3 minute. 3 threes and 9, and we'll do 5 minutes. That'll be close enough. You'll have more transition over. Okay. So one time, the other ask, the other answer, and then you can just swap round. Will that be okay for you three? You have a sense of that? Good. So I'm just going to name the question again. Get a sense, all of you, is this who will ask and who will answer first? You might need to check that out. The question is going to be, I'll give you the question again, don't worry. So the question is going to be, and I'll just pause before we start, what is right about not forgiving yourself? So, of course, the question implies that there's some non-self-forgiveness going on, but don't assume that. It's just what you respond to. What is right about it? If nothing's right about it, then say so. But see what comes. It's important with this that you actually try and remember, you might not remember exactly, but to try and remember the actual words that I've given you, to not add in the person's name if you know them, or sort of making more of it than just the question. What is right about not forgiving yourself? The response comes, I don't know. Thank you. What is right about not forgiving yourself? At least I won't do it again. Thank you. What is right about not forgiving yourself? I don't even know if I do or don't. What's it about? Thank you. What is right